You're listening to New England Public Radio News, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today are Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle and Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We start in Springfield, where a mural at the Dr. Seuss Museum has caused quite a stir. It all started when three authors pulled out of a scheduled children's literature festival because the artwork contains a Seuss drawing that uses a racial stereotype of a Chinese man from Seuss's first book. After canceling the event, museum officials then announced that they'd be taking down the mural. That upset Mayor Dominic Sarno, who called the decision, quote, political correctness at its worst. And two local businessmen offered to buy the mural, but Seuss Museum officials tell the Boston Globe that it's not for sale. Okay, Kristen, what do you think about how the museum has handled all of this?
I think the museum has handled it pretty well. I appreciate that they're considering the opinions of some pretty big artists in the medium of children's literature and illustrations. I think Mayor Sarno inserting himself into this is just peacocking, and I think he should stay the hell out of it.
Matt, you wrote extensively on this and pointed out that there are a lot of factors at play and that the museum should have seen this and related controversies about Seuss coming.
Well, I think it's important to note that there's the museum and then there's the Dr. Seuss Enterprises, which is, I guess, the corporate entity that controls the licensing and rights of Dr. Seuss's work. And it appears, from what I understand, that they played the Enterprises played a big role in the museum's decision or made the decision for the museum. And I think this all kind of, you know, goes back to the sense of, you know, what was this museum really going to be about? Is it just going to be a place to celebrate Dr. Seuss? Is it going to be like a place that actually discusses and investigates his role in children's literature? And if it was the latter, I think they would have had conversations about his more controversial work, which would have set themselves up much better to survive this particular situation.
Matt, would you get into the context part of what you're talking about a little bit?
Well, so Dr. Seuss had drawn cartoons, particularly in the 1940s, for a newspaper, I believe it was called PM, that were, you know, by today's standards, absolutely racist. I mean, he drew cartoons that mocked the fascists in Europe as well, but the Japanese were our enemy in Asia, and so they were frequently drawn in a way that was terrible, frankly. And Dr. Seuss ultimately came to regret a lot of these drawings. That conversation, that part of his history was not included in the museum, and the New York Times pointed this out over the summer. And it's not unlike, I think, the controversy over this Chinaman, as it was called at the time, image in the mural. And had it been, we would have been able to have those kind of discussions that I think the museum tried to have but really couldn't once the mural got pulled.
Aren't we still kind of having this discussion today in a way with, like, emojis? Wasn't there, like, a Chinaman emoji for a while and people kind of lost about that? I mean, this is still happening.
It's true.
In Holyoke, Massachusetts, a poem delivered by a student at the city's high school during a Latino Heritage Month assembly became the subject of criticism on social media and even threats against the student and others at the school. The poem paid tribute to the student's background while saying white people were to blame for oppressing minorities. The state receiver for the Holyoke schools, Stephen Zreich, says the poem wasn't reviewed sufficiently by school administrators while calling for everyone within the school's community to come together. Matt, what do you think about Zreich's comments? Is it a delicate balancing act for administrators between allowing students to express themselves but also maintaining order and safety in the school?
Absolutely. But I think that, you know, one thing that people are forgetting is that this is a public school. There are First Amendment implications at play here. And while the Supreme Court has been less than understanding about students' First Amendment rights, if you're under 18 anyway, it would be different if this was a public college. It would have been very difficult for them to just squelch a poem like this without having a similar uproar. I think they did as best as they could under the circumstances. What happened was once this got through the filter of social media, it became something that I don't think it entirely was.
Kristen, what are your thoughts about that whole First Amendment idea as far as the public school goes?
I think that it's really important to support this young woman right now. The poem she wrote was beautiful. It was inspiring and historically accurate. I don't think she blamed white people for oppression. I think she just stated what happened. If people want to interpret that as racist, that's sad.
In northern Berkshire County this week, A Democratic primary was held, and voters picked their nominee for a state representative in a special election. The seat had been held by the late Gail Ann Caridi until her death in June, and former North Adams Mayor John Barrett, who was in office for 26 years, was victorious. With a win over Republican Christine Canning in the general election next month, he would become a rookie legislator at the age of 70. Here's what Barrett told me Tuesday night after his win.
I've been in this game a long time, and to end up in this position at this point in my life, I'm thrilled because it allows me to continue to serve the people not only of North Adams but of Northern Berkshire.
So, Kristen, does someone like Barrett, who has a lot of political experience at the local level and certainly at least some contacts in Boston, does he have the potential to be an effective lawmaker should he win in November?
I think he does. I think he's really done a lot for North Adams. I mean, certainly bringing that up. The whole community is prospering over there, and I really like his message of if you're going to govern Massachusetts, you have to govern all of Massachusetts, not just Boston and the big cities. You got to remember the Berkshires. You got to remember Western Mass. So somebody just saying that up there, I like it.
And you, of course, will be reporting on Berkshire County pretty soon. Matt Barrett told me that while name recognition, of course, doesn't hurt, being mayor for so long means you make a lot of enemies over time as well. He was voted out 8 years ago, and 2 years ago he lost another bruising campaign trying to get the position back. Are you surprised by this election by the Democrats?
Not exactly. I mean, Representative Caridi's death was, very sudden. I don't think anybody was anticipating it. And so when you have an election that kind of comes together very quickly like that, name recognition is going to be a huge part of how you win that kind of race. I think the only other person who would have had anywhere near the recognition would have been Dan Bosley's daughter. I'm sorry, I don't recall.
Stephanie,
thank you. But I think, I was thinking about this. It's like, well, on the one hand, you might want somebody new in there. But on the other hand, somebody who is closer to the end of their political career than the bigger one may be able to step into the legislature and say, you know what, you really can't punish me. And that might be the kind of thing that you do need in Boston. I mean, it's too early to tell, but he may very well be able to say to leadership, you need to play ball with us, and I don't care if you don't.
Matt Szafranski of Western Mass Politics and Insight and Kristen Palpini of the Berkshire Eagle, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks,
Adam.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of the Shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenninger, and this is New England Public Radio.